Well, praise the Lord. I was like, it was wonderful. It's great to be here. Great to be let out of Reading. They let me out for good behavior, you understand. So, let me just turn that on. I think that's on. We'll find out. Awesome. So lovely. My wife Barbie sends her apologies that she can't be with us today. She's a midwife. If you're wondering what a midwife does, she has a deliverance ministry. So she's, oh, hello, am I going to watch Netflix? That's good. Oh, awesome. Okay. All right, I'll let Bob sort that out while I'm just chatting. So yeah, she's sadly this weekend is working night shifts. And if you've any experience of working shifts or being on nights, it's quite tricky for us. As a couple, but she did have, I'll say she had a baby, she delivered a baby last night. That would have been quite interesting, she had one. So she came home quite buoyant but exhausted. So and I bring you greetings from the All Nations Christian Centre in Reading. You know, I've been away for 2 weeks on holiday, so they're all wondering where I am this morning. They're probably thinking I've escaped and got away with it. But it's lovely to be here. I want to share with you a word this morning about good looking. Good looking. Now, when I say good looking, some of you will hear that and go, yep, that's me. Isn't that right? You know, some of you will be looking around going, that's them. Some of you will be looking around going, it's none of us. What's going on? Of course, when I talk about good looking, what I'm actually going to be talking about is where we look. Where we look, and to look in a good way, to conduct ourselves in a good way. And some thoughts I'm going to share with you, I'll warn you now, one thought might be slightly controversial. I shared this thought, not this particular word, but this thought with someone, and they said, oh, that can't be right. But I'll share it with you and let you be the arbiter of that. I'm preparing you for the heavy theological thought. Are you okay? How are we doing, Bob? Is it, are we there? Oh, there it is. Awesome. Oh, I'm on there as well. So fantastic. So when I talk about looking good or good looking this morning, I want us to think about where we look in life, where we look as Christians, how we conduct ourselves. And someone once said to my wife and I, if you're too busy doing the do's, you'll be too busy to do the don'ts. If you forget everything else I say this morning, remember that, because that's a nice, concise little thing. If you're too busy doing the do's, you'll be too busy to do the don'ts. I think it might have been a grandmother that had said that to us many, many years ago. And so where should we be looking to do those do's? Well, I want to describe this, if you like, as a circle or a cycle of seeing faith, the kind of faith that you look with. So the first place we're going to look is we're going to look Lordward. Lordward is not a word. I've made it up. If you look that up in your online dictionaries or Googles, you will not find the word Lordward. At best, you might find it hyphenated. But I'm preaching this morning, so I'm going to make up the words. Is that all right? Well, I'm doing it anyway. It's too late. It's on the PowerPoint, right? And Hebrews chapter 12, I've put an excerpt there for us, but in verses 1 to 3, tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is a picture of an athlete. And as you see before you this morning, you have a picture of an athlete. It's taken me years to get this body into this condition, and a lot of money as well. A lot of McDonald's have been consumed over the years. But the picture here is of the athlete who throws off everything that so easily ensnares. There's the athletics championships happening at the moment, I think in Tokyo. Is that right? So none of us are watching it unless you're staying up all night. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen an athletic race, the Olympics or something like that, or even the school sports day. Did you see anyone, take a stroll, I'm going to ask this table here because you look like the smartest and the best looking people. Have you ever seen a race where the sportsman, 100 meters race, carries his rucksack with him? No, because that would be dumb, right? Right. What do? They throw off everything that is going to hinder them in the race. And the Greek here is quite aggressive in the language. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to put it down. It's, I am throwing it away as far from me as I can get it. The sins that will hinder me, the things that will stop me running the race well, I get rid of them. Why? Because I'm looking somewhere else. I'm looking towards the finish line. Now, let me ask you again, because you were so interactive the last time. Have you ever seen them run the 100 meters backwards? You haven't seen that either. Why don't they run backwards? Because their eyes have to be on the finish line, right? Their eyes have to be forward. Our eyes have to be Lordward. He is our prize. Oswald Chambers, some of you will have come across this man, said, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. Beware of anything that's going to compete in loyalty to Jesus Christ. And this is a race for those who are a bit tired. The writer of Hebrews said to us, we need to consider Jesus so that we do not get tired, so we don't let tiredness overwhelm us. I don't know if you've ever been tired. You all look like you're full of beans this morning. But I don't know if you've ever been tired, so tired, you know, that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know if you've ever been tired. When we went on holiday a few weeks ago and we landed in Lanzarote, which is an interesting place, and I won't bore you with all that, but the first 3 days of the holiday, I was doing something that's quite unusual for me. I was taking afternoon naps. Now, you might look at me and think, you look like you need one. But actually, I was just taking afternoon naps. I was so tired by the time I got on holiday. And I was so worn out. And we're told here to look to Jesus as our prize so that we won't let weariness overcome us. So we won't let the things of this world overcome us. This week has been a crazy week in the world, hasn't it? You know, with conflicts and assassinations and all kinds of things going on. And we, you know, our prayer is, come Lord Jesus sometimes, isn't it? It's just, what is going on? We shouldn't allow weariness to overcome us. We need to look to Jesus. Now, here's the controversial bit. Here's the theological bit. Are you ready for this? Get your notepads out. Get your AI out. That's what they do in my church now. They AI check my sermons. I don't know. I don't know what, I don't even know what it is. But I get feedback from people after church saying, AI says this. I said, really? Who's Al? Because when you look at it, looks like Owl to me. But they say, no, that's AI. Anyway, here's the controversial bit. The cross doesn't save you. The cross doesn't save you. We have symbols in our church of the cross as a reminder of the crucifixion and the suffering of Jesus. Some of us wear crosses. I wear a cross. I've worn one for 24 years. My wife got me one as a present. I cherish a cross. I believe the cross is important, but it's not the cross that saves you. Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. It's Jesus that saves us. Our sins are laid upon Jesus, not on the wooden cross. The cross is the reminder, but it isn't the cross that saves us. When I look Lordwards, I'm not looking to the cross. I'm looking to him who defeated it. I'm looking to him who defeated death. I'm looking to him who is the raised and risen Saviour. That's good theology. You may not think so. You can check that on your AI if you want to. So we look Lordward, and then we need to look forward. We look forward. The Psalms tells us in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's going on there? Well, I don't know. How far forward can you look in life? A day? An hour? A minute? Actually, we can't. We make plans, don't we? But we have no idea what the next moment might hold. When I was growing up, when I was a young lad, I didn't come from a Christian background, came from a very interesting background, but part of that was spiritualism and seances. I'll just say that word so that the adults know what I'm talking about. And people would come knocking on our door, wanting my mum to tell them the future. Everyone wants to know the future. But we are told in Scripture we don't know what the future holds. That's why James tells us in chapter 4 that instead we should say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this or we will do that. We can look forward to many things. I'm looking forward to many things. I look forward to my granddaughter's 4th birthday coming up next month. Perfect girl, you understand? Can do no wrong, because she's my granddaughter. And so there's that element. I'm looking forward to the presents. In fact, yesterday we were online buying the birthday presents for us, so they arrive. You know, we don't go to the shops anymore. It's all done by Amazon and all this sort of thing. And I'm looking forward to wrapping them, and I'm looking forward to seeing a face when she unwraps them and goes, what's this? You know, and has no idea. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Christmas. Now, are we allowed to mention Christmas in September? I don't know. I saw Christmas decorations on sale in July in the UK, so I think we're allowed to mention it now as Christian. I love Christmas. Anyone else enjoy Christmas? You know, I love Christmas. I love the celebrations. I love what we do as a church. I love all that. I look forward to all these things. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow, Barbie and I celebrate an anniversary. Now, we celebrate every anniversary there is. It's not our wedding anniversary, but tomorrow it will be 39 years since we met. So it's in my diary as a reminder that tomorrow night, special meal, something nice for her as she's recovering from her night shifts and all that kind of thing. 39 years I've known her. I know, I met her when I was 2. I look forward to many things. The truth is, we don't know what's going to happen even in the next moment. Jesus says he will come as a thief in the night. We don't know what's going to happen. And when the psalm says, your words are a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, what's he telling us? Well, the picture here is of an old traditional oil lamp. So it's not like the torches you get on your mobile phones. It's not like the torches we used to use when we're out camping looking for things, or searchlight kind of torches. Not that. It creates a glow, and that glow does two things. It illuminates the next one or two steps. That's all on the Christian life, that we know we're heading in the right direction. But it also illuminates the person who's holding the lamp. So it illuminates us, our character, who we are. When the word says, You are the light to my path and to my feet, what are we being told? We're being told that we have to look at our character. We have to look at where we're paying attention, what we're giving our lives to. John Piper said, our attention is one of the most precious things that we have. What we give it to shapes our souls. What you think about is what you're going to become. What you give your life to is what you're going to be. One of the things that I really enjoy is there's two sports I enjoy. This is confession time. One is football. I don't play it, but I'm a follower of the greatest team in England. Close. Liverpool. Right, you're off, are you? Liverpool. I loved them from Kevin Keegan days. The other sport I really love is Formula One. And I would love to be a Formula One driver, but they don't make the cars wide enough to get me in it. And one of the things I remember from the years of watching Formula One was an interview with the great Nigel Mansell. Some of you look at me, who's Nigel? It doesn't matter. And he was being interviewed by the late Murray Walker. You know, am I mistaken? Yes, you are mistaken. Murray Walker, him. And he was saying, he was discussing the track at Imola. And there's, if you don't need to know anything about motor racing to understand this. But as you're going along at Imola, you hurtle along at 200 miles an hour, and then you have to slow down to about 30 miles an hour to get around this very tight chicane, which is a twist in the road, a little S shape. And Murray Walker was talking to Nigel Mansell, and he said, what's the hardest thing about this circuit? And Nigel Mansell said, your eyeballs. And I thought, what? I thought, surely it's going to be all the G-forces and all that. He said, your eyeballs. Because when you slow from 200 miles an hour, when you're hurtling along, and then you have to go around this chicane, he said, you can train your body, everything in your body, he said, but your eyes will want to go where the G-force takes them. And he said, you will always follow your eyes. He said, you'll always do that. He said, so as I'm coming to that chicane, I literally have to throw my head and my eyes in the exit of where I want to go. Because if I don't do that, I'm going to hit the walls. Where you give your attention is where you'll end up. That's a powerful lesson. You thought, lessons from Nigel Mansell on a Sunday morning. Who would have thought it? The third area that we look is outward. You can see our little diagram forming there. We look Lordward, we look forward, and now we're going to look outward. You see, if you are looking towards the Lord, and if you are looking forward in life, you cannot help but look outward beyond the church. You can't help it. Jesus said in Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Doesn't harassed and helpless define what our world is at the moment? And he said this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, we may think that evangelism and witness is someone else's responsibility. Most churches have someone that's very good at sharing their faith. But I want you to know, it's not someone else's responsibility. See, in the very next verse in Matthew's Gospel, which unhelpfully is in chapter 10, and you do know that the chapter markers in the Bible weren't inspired necessarily by God. They were put in later. The actual words of the text were. But sometimes we find there's a break in the flow of the text. And then the very next verses, Matthew 10, 1 to 5, it tells us that Jesus gathered those 12 disciples, gives them authority, names them, and then sends them out into the harvest field that he's just told them about a moment before. And sometimes when we're reading through the Bible and we're doing our reading plans and all that's really, really good, it'll break there and you'll come back to it the next day and think, oh no, something else is happening. It's the same conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. In John 4:35, what theologians like to call a parallel passage, in other words, same conversation happening, but John's written it slightly differently. And it says this, Jesus said, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. We have to look beyond the four walls and the comfort of our own church. It's one of the things I'm constantly saying in Reading, that who are we talking to about our faith this week? You might say, well, I don't know anyone. I only know my neighbors. Do your neighbors know you're Christian? I don't know anyone. I only know the people, you know, I see the same checkout person at Tesco, or wherever you do your shopping, Aldi, wherever it is. Well, say hello to them. Say, God bless you. Oh, I don't want to talk at school because I'll get bullied. You know, I got so beaten up at school for being a Christian. But I went home, my mum was like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? So I'm carrying the marks of Christ. It sounded really, really spiritual, you know, like Paul the Apostle. I'm carrying in my body the marks of suffering for Jesus with my black eye and all the rest of it. I thought, oh, you know, I'm I'm suffering for Jesus. I wished I'd ducked, to be honest. But anyway, that's besides the point. We have to start looking outward. I know as this church you do that. I know you do that with your holiday clubs and your youth work and these things. But I was thinking the other day, and just about my church and how many people are employed or where they live. And I think there must be 100 or maybe 150 different companies and institutions that our people go into every single week. And you start thinking like that, how many places do you go as a church that you can influence? See, when you leave here, you're not going off now to, oh, I've escaped church, I've done my duty. You're sent into a mission field. You're sent to where Jesus wants us to go. And I think one of our problems, certainly when I became a Christian, I was told evangelism was for the special people. And we use the word special differently nowadays. You probably think that's what we mean by that is the weird people. We even meant that then. The fivefold ministry. I didn't know what the fivefold ministry was. I grew up in a council estate in Reading. Goodness me. And people said it's the fivefold ministry. I thought they're going to thump you. I didn't know what it was. That's all. We've got pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. The weird ones. Now, if you read in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, I haven't got time to do a study of this with you, but there's a little phrase in there that says that those fivefold ministry, what's their role? Is to equip the saints for works of service. What does that mean? It means those people train you to do what they do. An evangelist's role is to help us witness. We recently had Mark Greenwood come to our church. Mark Green was the head of Elim Evangelism. And he did a workshop day with us on how to share our faith with people that don't want to listen to our testimony. Really, really good. And the people there were like, this is fantastic. I had one guy come along, he said, I've come today, wasn't going to come, don't want to share my faith, but my daughter has just hooked up, started dating a non-Christian. And he's perfect in every way, except he's not a Christian. Now, how many of you know he's not perfect in any way if he's not a Christian? But anyway, I said, oh, that's good. And he said, but I want to know how to tell him about Jesus. I thought, well, at least you're here because you're going to get tools. We need to understand it's our responsibility. We need to look outwards. No one is going to share the Christian faith with my neighbor apart from me. Maybe Barbie. She's really, really good at that stuff. We got a new neighbor above us. We live in an apartment. And got a new neighbour above us. So my wife said, right, we're going down to the co-op, Keith. We're going to buy a bunch of flowers and a welcome card. Oh, do we have to? Yes, Keith, we're going to do that. Okay, dear, off we went. You know, and she was with me. I said, well, this bunch will do, £2.50. She's like, you're not doing that to our new neighbour. £12 bunch. I thought, have they died? I know them. You know, and then I'm choosing the card. No, you don't want that card. I was like, why did I come? Because, you know, anyway, I got the card. It was a bit like that. Why did I come? Walk did you good, you know, so I'm like, right. And then she gives it to me. You must write in it. You're better at words than me. Hello, new neighbor at number 25. Welcome to the building. We hope you enjoy living here. God bless, Keith and Barbie. Took it up, knocked on the door. Guy opens the door, covered in paint. Obviously not a great decorator, but we could hear him working in there. His name's Sam. Shock on his face. Big bunch of flowers. Card. I'm thinking this man would appreciate, and don't take this wrong, but I looked at him and thought he probably would rather have a six-pack of beer, to be honest. He looked like that kind of guy. Anyway, here's flowers for a vase you actually probably don't own, a single guy and all that, and gave him that and said, anything you need, any help you want, if you're putting together IKEA, I'm your man, all that kind of thing. He was right, right, thanks, looking at these flowers. And I could see what was crossing his mind. My mama liked these. Now, the thing is, we broke the ice. We broke the ice. Well, Barbie broke the ice, and I went along. It tends to be how it happens. We have to look outward. We have to look around these things. You got a new neighbor moving into wherever you live. Be the one that welcomes them. Be the one that welcomes them. When we bought our flat, where we are, ground floor apartment. So I'm off my notes, but this is much nicer just telling you stories. And we went to buy this flat, and the flat opposite us, only two flats on the ground floor where we live in Bracknell. And there, the door opposite my, what would become my front door, was "Welcome to Anfield" doormat. That's Liverpool. So Barbie's in looking at the flat, and I'm like, this is my house. This is where I'm going to live. So I walk in. Barbie says, what do you think? No, we're going to buy this. How do you know? Look over there, a neighbour. What I didn't know, because we moved in on my birthday weekend last year, and what I didn't know is Barbie had bought me the very same welcome mat, right? So we moved in on my birthday, get this birthday present, I put it outside. Now, everybody that comes into our block of flats is welcome to Anfield in stereo, right? But then when the guy opposite saw this, he comes knocking on my door. Hello, I'm Gavin. Who supports Liverpool? And I'm like, oh, it's me. Oh, great, all the rest of it. We chit-chat all the time. Do you know in our little block of six flats in this little block, five of us support Liverpool Football Club. It's a sign. We're not sure about Sam, who's just moved in. But we will win him to Christ, obviously. We'll win him to Christ. That's what we're about. We look outward. Just look around you at what's going on. And then we're called to look upward. The fourth thing in our cycle. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Mike was sharing with us at the beginning of the service from 1 Samuel 30 and emphasizing these words. David encouraged himself in the Lord when things are going wrong. Has anything ever gone wrong? Trying to not look at you, Chris, with your broken elbow. Has anything ever gone wrong? Sometimes stuff goes wrong, doesn't it? Sometimes things happen in life that weren't in your plans. My wife got home yesterday morning from her night shift, and she said, what are you doing today, Keith? And I said, well, I've got to put the PowerPoint together for today, and I've got a few things to do. Can you do me a big favor? What's that, darling? Can you take my car to get it washed? You might think that's not a big deal. I call my wife's car the skip. She doesn't wash it. She doesn't keep it clean. And then she said to me, and when you've cleaned it, can you fill it with fuel? I'm like, I mean, that's my job. It's my job. And I'm like, I thought, Lord, look upward, Keith. Where does your help come from? So I went around the car, took out two bags of rubbish out of this car, carrier bags of rubbish out of this car, took it down. There's pastry crumbs and crisps everywhere and all sorts of things. I apologized to the guy at the car wash as I was leaving it there. Fortunately, there's a coffee shop nearby, so I'm just going to leave it here with you. I'm really, really sorry. He looked and he said, it's going to cost you extra, mate. So, don't I know it? I'm looking upwards, Lord. I'm just going to look. Where's my help come from? Sometimes things irritate you, life throws things at you, problems come. But we look to the one who made it all. We look to the one who made the mountains. If God can make the mountains, he can make your mountain small. If he made the big stuff, if he created everything, he can make your stuff small. Now I want to show you a picture from our holiday last year. This isn't one of those come look at my holiday snaps kind of talk. But I want to show you this picture from last year. I thought I'm going to use this one day, and you're the guys I'm using it with. We went to a little place in northeast Spain called Llanza. Llanza is like the second town in Spain on the coast. Lovely place, untouched by British tourists. If you know what I mean. You get a lot of French and German, they're very polite, but so anyway, we go there, and it happens to be the place where I did my first ever missions trip with Elim, and my friends, who are now related to us by marriage, which is a long story, they've replanted the Elim church in the same building 30 years later. So we went to support them, have a bit of a break. And they said, Well, family and friends always stay in this apartment. So you rent that apartment. So that's what we did. We contacted the lady, British lady who's got this place. So we went there. Didn't ask for any Google reviews or anything like that. We just went. Beautiful apartment. 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. Really, really lovely apartment with a balcony. And so every morning I would go out onto the balcony and I would sit there at about 7 o'clock in the morning and have my quiet time. And would you like to see my view? Because we weren't in a tourist bit. We were about a minute's walk from the beach, but we weren't in a hotel or anything like that. And the buildings really, really close together. Would you like to see the view I had out from the balcony? Are you ready for this? Here you go. Oh dear. Oh dear, a minute's walk from the beach, that was my view. And in the building opposite, which was, you know, probably the width of this platform, there was an air conditioning guy and he had his building yard. So I would sit there seeing that. And I was reading this verse, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountain." But when I looked up, this is what I saw. See, your life might be, you can only see through the crack of your circumstances and all you see is the emotional builder's yard. But look up. Where's your help coming from? In the midst of the problem, in the midst of the struggle, whatever you're facing, the one who made the mountains is your God. And is your God too small to make a difference in your life? Of course not. He is God. We look up. So is God too weak to help? No. He's the maker of everything. We celebrate him. So let me land this message and hand back to Mike. And there you see kind of my really rubbish graphic. You guys could have done much better with that, I know. My rubbishy graphic there. We start off by looking Lordward. And then we look forward. And that compels us to look outward. And when you're looking outward, you have to look upward. You have to begin to look upward. And then, if you look upward, well, that takes you back to looking Lordward, doesn't it? And it becomes a cycle in your life. May we pray together. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Aldershot. I pray you bless them. Pray you bless those and heal those who are sick this morning. We heard of several folks down with bugs. Lord, we ask you to touch them with your healing power right now. Lord, that they will know that you are the God who heals, that by your stripes we are healed. And we pray for us and everyone, Lord, who might hear this message eventually, that, Lord, that you would help us to look in the right way, to look good, to be the people who are focused, not on achievement, but focused on you, the ones who put your word into our lives that we may look forward, the ones who look outward to those who don't know you, the ones who keep looking upward, for you are our helper. And Lord, I commit this church to you, and I pray, Lord, for your continued growth and blessing upon them. And I pray, Lord, for the continued pouring out of your Spirit upon them. And I pray, Lord God, that they would know your power and your majesty in every situation in their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.